And now I have hope. And I think all of us can relate to that. All of us can relate to a time in our life where we didn't have any hope. Think about the impact that Easter, the resurrection, the crucifixion, that whole weekend had on those early followers. They had all lost hope. Some of the people had been following Jesus from the very start of his ministry. Like, think about Peter and Andrew and James and John. Like, those four gave up their careers, gave up their families, and followed this guy around for 3 years. And at that point, they had hope. Jesus came and he saw them on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, and they were getting their nets ready and fishing, and he said, "Hey, come follow me." And for the first time in their lives, they thought they had meaning and purpose. Growing up in a Jewish society the way that they did, at some point, they were told, "Hey, you're not qualified. You can't go any further in the religious system. Go do what your dad did." So they were fishermen. And so Jesus gave them hope when he said, "Hey, come and follow me." And they did. And Jesus gave them purpose. Jesus gave them hope. Jesus gave them a reason to live. And for 3 years, they followed him. They learned from him. They saw some incredible things. They saw miracle after miracle. Some of the greatest teachings that have ever existed, they were a part of in the very moment. And in a short week, it's all over. Judas betrays him. Peter denies him. All of his friends fall asleep in the garden when he said, "Hey, would you just come pray with me?" He's arrested, put on trial, convicted, beaten, humiliated, spit upon, and then eventually crucified. And when he was crucified, their hope died. They lost their purpose. They lost their meaning. 3 years down the drain, scared and hiding. But it wasn't only those who were closest to him that it affected. There's a story in Luke chapter 24 that Luke tells. And starting in verse 13, it says, "That very same day," or now the same day of the resurrection, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came and walked along with them. But they couldn't see him. They were kept from recognizing them. And he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along the road?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. They'd lost hope. So one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know about the things that have happened here in these 3 days? The crucifixion, the trial, the betrayal?" And Jesus said, "What things?" He said, "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. And watch this. But we had hoped." We had hoped. What did they hope? You know, Cleopas, when he started speaking, he said, "We had hope, but it's gone now." And the thing that makes me relate to these guys, and all of us probably, is that we've had our hopes crushed in life. That's why this story is so important to us. We've had our hopes, our dreams, and maybe at this point in your life, like, you have questions too. Maybe you're not fond of Jesus. Maybe you're not fond of religion or the church or any of those things, and you have doubts and you have concerns, and you're one point in your life, you said, "And we had hoped. I had hoped that this would happen." God, if you're really good, then why did I have a miscarriage? Why can't we conceive? God, why won't you let my husband, why did you let my husband cheat on me? God, why am I struggling with this addiction? Like, I've prayed and I've begged you, God, to cure my depression. And there are still days that I can't get out of bed. Can you help me? And Jesus is following these guys. And they lost hope. And it shows us that Jesus really hasn't changed. He comes and finds two guys without hope. Just a few days earlier, he was hanging on a cross between two guys who had no hope. And as he's dying on that cross, literally the two criminals that are about to die with him, Jesus is reaching out to them, answering their questions. Now Jesus is risen from the grave and he's doing the very same thing. He's approaching two guys who had lost hope and he's answering their questions. They have doubts and they have fears, and Jesus is walking along beside them saying, hey, I understand. You know, Jesus isn't afraid of what confuses you. Jesus isn't afraid of your tough questions. Jesus isn't standing back, social distancing with latex gloves and a mask on saying, hey, I'm sorry, I can't touch you. You know, I know the sins that you've committed, Josh. I know all of the bad things that you've done. I know your past. I know your secrets. I can't touch you because you're not clean. Jesus isn't scared of getting dirty. He's not scared of the mess in our life. That's not the way Jesus approached these people. He said he went to them in a hurry. He says, listen, I'm not worried about you making me dirty. I just want to make you clean. I want to purify you. Just talk to me. Spend time with me. Hang out with me. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. You know, they had a bad expectation of Jesus, a false expectation of Jesus. I think like so many of us do. That we want Jesus to come in and do something that he doesn't want to do, or that he has a bigger plan than what we can even imagine. They wanted a political redeemer. Jesus was redeeming them from their sin. It says, moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they'd seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him, they didn't see. It's hard to believe a man that comes back from the dead. It doesn't happen. It was easy for us 2,000 years later because we know the end of the story, but they're in it. Like, they're full of doubt and fear. You know, sometimes in the midst of things, we can't see what God's trying to do. We get so focused on our circumstances, and we lose sight of what God is trying to do in the midst of our chaos. Or sometimes we see clearly what God is trying to do, and we just say, hey, that's too hard. I'm not going to do that. Because listen, following Jesus isn't easy. It wasn't easy for him. Remember, as his closest friends, they went to the garden. He slunk off a little bit further. He prayed so hard that his sweat became blood. And what was his prayer? His prayer was, God, take this cup from me. God, this is hard. But then he said, not my will, but your will be done. Don't we struggle with that too? The will of God? It's hard to surrender ourselves and say, God, your will be done in my life. And here's why it's hard. Because we have this understanding of where it leads us. It leads us to die to ourselves. It leads us to a place of sacrifice and surrender. I hear so many people say, or teaching and preaching, that, hey, if you're living in the will of God, that you're going to be blessed. You'll never have any trouble. Temptation won't affect you. The only problem with that is the whole Easter story with a Savior who was crucified for us. The will of God, it led Jesus straight to the worst death humanly possible. It led him to give up his life for ours. Why in the world would we think that God's will for us is any different than it was for Jesus? The will of God may be painful. It may seem cruel today. You may not understand what's happening, but today's only Friday. And there's a resurrection coming. God is making something good out of our mess. The hope is around the corner. And that's what they all experienced. Finally, these guys saw Jesus for who he was. The resurrected Savior of the world. Soon the 12 would see him for who he was. A sacrifice that was made for them. And they all recognized it after they saw the wounds. After they saw the scars. And it changed the world. Maybe today you have wounds and scars. And those wounds and those scars, they've robbed you of hope. Maybe those scars were caused by you. Maybe it was something you did, something you said. Maybe those wounds or scars were inflicted by someone else and you had no control over it. Here's what I want you to hear today. Jesus has scars too. Scars not caused by himself. Scars that were caused by us. But his scars didn't end up in defeat. They ended up changing the world. And so can yours. You know, Peter tells us what God's will is. He said it's that all would come to repentance and that none would perish. This Easter, let your scars bring hope to people. Let your scars be the thing that are pointing people to the only one that can give life. When Paul was talking about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, he said this, and if Christ has not been raised from the dead, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he has raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, in fact, then the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ wasn't raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people to be most pitied. We have hope not only for this life, but beyond. God is just waiting to turn your scars and your wounds into a victory, into a resurrection, to give you hope. Hope is what keeps us going when everything in us wants to give up. Hope is the glimpse of sunshine when the storms of life seem to be the most intense. Hope is the big breath of air that fills our lungs when it seems as if we're drowning in our circumstances. Hope is hearing a child's laughter in the middle of our tears. Hope is the flash of light that we are in the darkest place in our life. Hope is a blood-stained cross that resulted in an empty tomb. Hope is a risen Savior who conquered death. Hope is knowing that Jesus lives in me. And if he conquered death, then in me he allows me to conquer anything that life throws my way. Hope is knowing that one day Jesus is coming back, not as a kid, but as a king. Hope is knowing that one day Jesus will take all that is wrong and make it right. Hope is knowing that we're not alone in this world because he promises to always be with us. Hope is what this world desperately needs. If you're watching today, this week, and you feel like you have no hope, hope is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that you would use your wounds and your scars, just like we've witnessed today on the videos, that your wounds and your scars would be used to point people to him so that they may have life and that they may have hope.